Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on November 10th, 2017. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. Joining us today as co-host and co-interviewer is the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Mark Lipps, and of course, with us because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, Mark, how are you guys doing today?
Good morning. Good morning.
I am doing great. I'm a little disappointed that I really thought Trader Joe's.
I'm sorry?
I don't know what happened there. I think Mark just. Well, it doesn't show that he's hung up. He's
No.
That's weird.
Oh,
oh no,
yes,
he just
there we
dropped.
Go.
Okay, I'll get him on the line. You keep talking.
Okay, good. Well, we're going to have a great show today, I know, because we're going to be talking about how you bring together the various parts of an organization and, coaching, leadership development, team building programs.
Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, okay. What were you saying, Mark? You were saying something about...
I thought Trader Joe's was the go-to place, and then I'm reading this thing from Jackie that how bad their fruit is, and I was, a little taken aback by that.
What?
And then the comments after that, man, I mean, we got a fruit issue with our stores.
Yeah. It's something funny, Mark. I discovered this years ago, I was not happy with the quality of the produce at Trader Joe's. I was not happy with it. So years ago, I stopped buying it. I go there for other things. I get my oatmeal.
Right.
I'll get nuts there and stuff. But I have not bought fruit there in a long, long time. And my husband, every so often, he says, I'm going to Trader Joe's, and he takes his little grocery bags. And he came home last week, and he bought a bag of apples and a bag of tangerines. And, of course, he bought them, but it's up to me to unpack everything. And I took them out of the bag and stuff, and half the apples were rotten, and the tangerines were completely hard and dried out. And I said to him, I said, didn't I tell you not to buy produce at Trader Joe's anymore? He said, yeah, but he forgot. Anyway, I posted on Facebook, and across the board, everybody's had bad experiences with their produce at Trader Joe's. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Wow.
So,
wow. Well,
I always learn something from Jackie's posts.
We buy most of our produce, I think, at Costco. Costco, I think. A lot of produce, actually.
You like Costco.
We like Costco, and then, of course, since I've been frequenting the farmers markets, let me put in a plug generically. I think everyone within the sound of my voice, support your local farmers market. Support your local farmers market.
Yeah,
they're
I
working
do that
hard.
Too, Joe. I get mine from a variety, you know, depending on the day and the time, you know, and I can go to the farmer's markets. I'll get stuff at the farmer's market. I like the produce at Whole Foods. I like the produce at Bristol. Vons even has great food. Vons and Ralph's also have a great fruit and vegetable selection. So I get a little bit everywhere. I like to spread the love out, you know.
Right, right.
Well, my wife's a chef, caterer, so she's at all those places. I'm curious. I forgot to ask her about Trader Joe's, but yeah, she knows she has specific places where she gets her fish, and I mean, it might be as far as Santa Monica. She has specific places where she gets her cuts of meat and all that stuff. So yeah.
Yeah.
So listen,
it's not one shop.
You know, there's a lot of things swirling about in Hermosa these days. What do you guys know about that? Anything? Fiesta Hermosa?
I just saw something about that in your weekend guide today.
Yeah.
I didn't read the whole thing because I was getting ready for the show. I just glanced at it. I glanced at it, and then once the show's over, I can go back and read the whole thing. But tell us what's going on.
Well, it's Fiesta Hermosa. It's interesting. The city manager, I talked to Sergio there, and they would love for Fiesta. They really love our hometown fair, and they would like to see Fiesta Hermosa kind of go back to having some of those roots that originally it had, you know, a little more hometown, a little more art, not as many Cutco knives, things like that. So I guess that's the rub, and so they're trying to get as many people as possible to this meeting. So even if you're outside of Hermosa Beach, this might be a meeting you want to go to Thursday night, 6 o'clock at the City Council Chambers in Hermosa, because it's a public meeting to talk about the contract and direction that Fiesta Hermosa needs to think about, what they need to think about. And the fact that they're having a meeting about it, they're really concerned.
Yeah.
I always thought it was hugely successful. I mean,
I think it's hugely successful, it is hugely successful. That's what supports the chamber there. But I think they're concerned, about the direction it's going. In other words, are the people that – I guess they'd like to see more buy-in from the community. They're wondering how many of these people actually are part of the community, or are they coming in? You know, it's the old story, too, of – like our AVP, you know, our six-man, when it was on the weekends for all those years, pretty soon it was just a draw for everybody to come in.
A huge regional party.
And, yeah, exactly. And that brought a lot of unwanted elements with it. And they're kind of worried about that, I think, too, with Fiesta Hermosa. So I just thought that was interesting. That's why I put it in my Happy Friday.
When you say how much of the locals are invested in it, are you talking about the vendors or are you talking about the people come to it?
People that come to it. So what they may do is give, from what I understand, they may try to put a different tone on it with one of them. There's two. It's two weekends.
Right, right.
And they may try to go a little light, you know, it might be Fiesta Hermosa light, you know, a little more artistic, a little more homegrown. And then there'd be the one that what it's evolved into now, which is, you know, just booth after booth of everything from. And the problem is, one of the problems is the retailers, you know, the whole thing is those events are to help drive traffic to retailers. It's to be a community event, too. But theirs is. Hometown Fair is a community event, but the Fiesta Hermosa is, the whole purpose is drive people, and it does, into the restaurants and bars and all of that, but also to the retail. Yet what it's evolved into, from what I've heard from business owners, is, you know, there will be somebody, a vendor there, selling tennis shoes right next to a shoe store. That's like pulling a food truck up to the
in
curb.
In front of your restaurant.
Front of your restaurant.
Yeah.
And so they're just thinking it needs to be tweaked. It needs to be revised. It needs to be rethought out. And so the contract with the chamber's up. They're holding a public meeting. As you know, Kim.
Ruggles?
No, the president of the chamber, Kim.
Former
Kimberly,
president.
McPherson?
McMullen.
McMullen,
Friday was her last day.
Yeah.
Right.
So I would like to see us, you know what, here, I'll say it right here on the air with you guys. I would love to see Manhattan and Hermosa merge.
What? Like,
okay.
What? Like, like as a city or just for their big fairs?
No, for the Chamber of Commerce's.
The Commerce's, I see. Wow.
Oh, Mark. Actually, Mark.
Stronger
I think
together than we are apart. Stronger together than
Mark,
apart. Yep.
Now, I think, I thought you were going way off the deep end, but now I see the merger of the chambers, I think the city council would be very supportive of that.
Yeah, but the chamber doesn't answer to the council. Now, the council has leverage because of Fiesta Hermosa and all that, but...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I'm just saying that. I think the chamber...
Hey,
I mean, the city council would be...
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
yes,
guys.
Jackie.
Okay. We can plan a show about that. I will schedule something where we can talk about that. But we got a big topic today that I want to get to.
Yep.
yes, this is big.
I did only...
Huge. Really
pre-sage.
Huge.
I pre-saged the topic. Gigantic leadership, team building. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Okay, we have a returning guest this morning, Kathleen Terry, founder and executive director of Participative Management Systems, a training and development company that provides coaching, leadership development, and team building programs to high-tech firms, local and county governments, leading defense aerospace contractors, and major health management organizations. She has over 30 years of experience in the training and development field and in coaching nonprofits to develop the infrastructure necessary to fulfill their potential. Kathleen has a BA in psychology and education from the University of Illinois and a master's in psychology with a concentration in multicultural relations. Now, Kathleen is passionate about making a difference in her community and is an active volunteer. She's currently on the board of the Volunteer Center of the South Bay and I Love You Foundation. She also is an active Rotarian and was the past president of Manhattan Beach Rotary. Presently, Kathleen is the facilitator for Leadership Manhattan Beach and Redondo Beach and also has also facilitated leadership programs in Pasadena and Hermosa Beach. Now, Kathleen has been actively involved with the Beach City's Health District and provides coaching and training designed to help people to find their purpose and answer the question, why do you get up in the morning? She was a facilitator at Mastermind by Women for Women. It was an event earlier this week. And this morning, we're going to learn about the event and what attendees took from it. Welcome back to the program, Kathleen. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Hey. Hello?
Thank you, Kathleen. Hi. Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Well maybe
yes,
I
we
should.
Can now. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe we should explain a little bit about what the Women's Mastermind was.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And Kathleen can put it in terms that probably speak more to a mastermind concept, but this was something that was born out of a discussion that B.B. Goldstein and I had months ago, that we wanted to do something for women because, you know, we used to have the South Bay Women's Conference here, and somehow it got sideways with the previous management, and it was discontinued. But Bebe took it and went to Torrance with it. And I wanted to bring back something for women, just like I'm bringing back something for young professionals. But I didn't want to do the same thing she was doing. I wanted to do something different. I wanted to do something that was no one else was doing. And she came back and she said, what about a mastermind concept? And after looking that up, what a mastermind concept is, I thought that's perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. And so that's what it was. It is essentially getting women together in groups and them and having a facilitator, which is where Kathleen comes in, and the women get 15 minutes. 2 minutes of that is to talk about a challenge that they have in their typically it would be your work life or your business or something you would like to do. Maybe you're a mom and you're an empty nester and you want to start a business, a home business or something like that. So then the other 13 minutes, the women around that table mentor her. She basically then goes into listening mode and someone takes notes and she is mentored by the other ladies there who probably have either been in her shoes or know what she's going through and can definitely offer advice based on their experience. So that's essentially what the mastermind is. I think Kathleen could probably elaborate even more on it.
Okay. Yeah, I think that, you know, mastermind groups have been around for quite a long time, and I think this is a really great event that the Chamber sponsored. And from my being there, I think the women who participated really thought it was well worth their time, and everybody's time is so valuable. So spending, you know, basically from, you know, 10 o'clock until 2 o'clock, it has to have value, and I think it did. What he said was really important because the reality is that a lot of us who are business owners are operating independently. We don't really have a resource sometimes to just kick ideas around. And so what was interesting is there was a huge diversity in the room between people who were actually in business for many years and then people who basically, like he said, are just thinking about starting a business. And so we had a lot of experience. We had a lot of new people. And I talked to about three or four people afterwards, and all of them said they came away inspired. They came away with ideas, and they felt it was definitely something that the Chamber should continue to do.
And I'm a guy. I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm a guy. And
it was great because he left.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Except Bebe kept trying. Bebe kept texting me, "You've got to come back in. You've got to come back in." And I'm going, "What? But this is for women. I want to go. I'm going to go away." But when I did come back, and I would stand in the back of the room, even as a guy, you felt who has not evolved yet, you know, into where women are today. You know, way up there. The energy in the room, the vibe was just very cool. You know, just it was just wonderful, in a sense. You know.
Okay, so Kathleen, you the event, each table had a facilitator and a note taker. You were a facilitator at one of the tables.
Okay.
Can you give us some examples of what some of the challenges were that the women at your table brought up?
Okay. At my table, what I found, we had a wide diversity. We had one in person who was already in business for a year, and her real issue had to do with fundraising and a product differentiation. Then we had another woman who basically had a luxury line of customized clothing that she actually designs, and she was trying to figure out how to find more clients for the luxury items that she's selling. And then we had another woman who basically had just left her job as a social worker in a nonprofit and had one consulting nonprofit job and was considering starting her business as a nonprofit consultant. So she was really, really at the beginning. And then the last woman, she basically shared about a challenge she had in saying no to requests. So it was we were all over the map with the different issues that were presented. So I found it, I think, and I wasn't at all the tables, but I think that the issues that people presented tended to be very, very business related versus like, you know, like personal related. So that was kind of the diversity at my table.
That's what the Thursday night book club is for. Is
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's really interesting. One of the comments that came up during the day, someone had said something about, well, you know, why do women even need this in today's day? You know, so you know, haven't we gone beyond that? That women have to get together and have a meeting like this or a session like this. And I found that very interesting because, again, I think that the expectation in our world is that we are all, you know, equal and we are all still doing, you know, all these issues regarding female issues in the workplace have gone away. That's not true. And I think that women need to find opportunities to support one another. And so I think that that's what the day was about, is not male bashing, not saying that, you know, there's anything wrong with men, but women having an opportunity to just be with other women, to share without that male energy. And I think that, you know, we do need opportunities like this as women.
Is this something, Kathleen, that you think should be more regular, that women entrepreneurs should be able to get into an environment by women for women on a quarterly basis or just more regularly, and it would be beneficial if they did?
Yeah. You know, I believe very strongly that, you know, there are gender differences, and I think that to ignore the fact that, you know, just, oh, well, we're all the same, we're not all the same. Women operate many times differently than men, and I just think that having an opportunity for women to basically learn how to be supportive of one another. You know, for many, I've been in business a long time, and I can say that over the years, women are getting more supportive of other women, but that has not always been the case, that women many times are not our greatest allies. So I think having opportunities like this could be very helpful.
So, okay. Kathleen, I don't know, we have not, you and I have not talked since and followed up on this, but I'm going through some of the responses that were left, you know, on my little sheet of paper to give comments. And one of the things we talked about that speaks to that question, do you think women should have this regularly, should have a forum like this regularly? Under my thing, would you be interested in being part of a quarterly women's mastermind group, which, you know, you and Elizabeth Bailey were talking about a couple months ago, which would be, you know, it would be a version of this, but this would be one where Kathleen and Elizabeth, whoever would run it, and it would be a group that would meet quarterly. Well, every piece of paper, every comment I got back was yes, yes, yes. I mean, some, you know, exclamation point, yes, yes. And so, you know, to your question, Joe, I guess it looks like women really want these formats, these platforms, or these forums.
Okay.
Well, I you know, Kathleen, what you were mentioning about how do I start this? As a small business owner, all right, myself, I'm a small business owner. I work in a bubble. And I mean, I have people, but because of the nature of what I do, I'm very insulated, and I don't that much of an opportunity for other women with small businesses, just because of the way I'm insulated. Were a lot of the women there in that situation? It's, you know, when you don't have a big company, when you don't have a bunch of employees, did you find that to be the situation? A lot of the people that you mentioned at your table, they sounded like, you know, individual, they work individually, not within a big framework of people.
Yeah, most of the people, I don't know the demographics of the entire room, but I think that many of them were small business owners, so they might have a staff, but their staff might be 2, 3, 4 people. They're not huge. The women who were there were not necessarily, except for the people that maybe were on the panel, were people that basically do operate pretty much independently with a small staff. And I think that's an issue that a lot of, not just women, but men face as well. When you're a business owner, a small business owner, oftentimes you are isolated. And I oftentimes will say to people, you know, if you want to go into business for yourself, if you really like to have a lot of people interaction or teams, you know, you may not do very well as a small business owner because you really are isolated. And I think that's why a lot of times getting feedback to issues, challenges we're facing is critically important. And this whole process is very interesting, the way it's set up, is while the person throws out their challenge, but then all of when the group is giving that person feedback, the person who is requesting the help is not allowed to talk. So what happens is the note taker is taking down the comments so that the person who is the person asking for help can just really pay attention and listen. And you'll find that a lot of times in many situations when I try to give you advice, you will come back with, well, that won't work, I tried that, blah, blah, blah. And so what happens is you're not taking anything in. So this is not a back and forth conversation. It's a basically, here's the problem, and now we really want to hear what these people think you might do. And out of the ideas that we give you, there may be one idea or one thought or one question that gets you as the person asking for help to go, oh, my gosh, I didn't even think of that. So it's a really interesting process because it gets the person to really accept and listen versus respond.
You know, Kathleen, you make such a good point. You make such a good point. This is interesting. This is something I think every kid should figure out in high school. Are you a team player, or are you more comfortable being an individual competitor? You know, that's something that you, and you can, as I said, you can figure that out by the time you finish high school. Do you prefer a team sport, or do you prefer going it on your own? And you're right about business. You got to figure out what type of person you are before you decide. If you don't like being isolated all day, it's not going to work for you. And that's so important. That's so important.
You know, the other thing that came up that I thought was that I think if anybody listening that's thinking of having a business or even has a business, it came up over and over again that so many people do not have a business plan. That, you know, like they say, oh, I'm going to start a business. I'm going to be a consultant. And they have one client. And they go, well, I'm going to be self-employed. They never even looked at what's the need for their product. Is there something that's relevant? And a lot of them, it's almost like they're not getting it that if you're going to start a business, you need to do your due diligence of making sure that you understand what that takes. The panels were very interesting too. We not only did we have time for this masterminding, we also had two great panels. We had a morning panel on building a business with strong legs, and there were five women that were on that panel. And in the afternoon, there were five other women on a panel that had to do with gender gap and what the issues were around there. So all of this information from the panelists were saying, you know, you have to have a plan. You have to look at the legal aspect of your business. You know, and a lot of times I think people, you know, kind of are just shooting from the hip and haven't done that early setting their businesses up correctly.
Right, right. Now, Kathleen, can we step back in the large and can you just talk about what participative management is all about? What does it mean to participate as a manager in the business?
Okay. So when I started my business over 30 years ago, you know, you always try to think about, okay, so what's your name? What is your business going to be about? And I was always a big believer that getting employee participation in the decision making is critical. Remember, I've been in business for a while. When I started out, it was really the model where all the decisions were made by the top and sent down the chain. And so, surprisingly, as we look at today, where teams are such a big thing, back in like the 70s, they weren't a big thing. All the decisions were made by the boss, and the concept that we should ask people to participate in decision making was not common, and it was really a new concept. So all of my work, all of the programs that I do, and all the facilitation I do is really about engaging people and not, you know, talking at them, not, you know, really getting them involved in the process. So that's kind of, you know, it's kind of like me being more of a facilitative type person than an authoritative type person. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Basically, you know, when you think about the kinds of organizations that we have here in the South Bay, we don't have. I mean, we have Northrop Grumman's, but they're few and far between. Most of the organizations, most of the businesses in the chamber, for instance, are small to medium-sized businesses, and they have particular needs. And we've been talking about that for the beginning of the half hour, that they are really, you know, organized around one person, usually the person that started the business. They're organized around one focus and in one location, and these are special needs that have special issues. how do you find the what kinds of organizations do you normally work with, Kathleen?
Well, I usually work with a variety. Over the years, I've worked with a huge number of different organizations, but I tend to work with many larger organizations. So I tend to work with the Northrops, and the nonprofits that I work with would tend to be like the Big City Health District or the American Heart Association. But even when I go in, it's with a small group that I'm working with. I also do, again, some work in with, you know, small entrepreneurs, which would be more like a coaching kind of a situation. So it's, again, I could say I make my money, if you will, by working in larger organizations. But I can I also in the community have been involved with doing a number of strategic planning sessions for a number of nonprofits, which are definitely smaller.
Right. So, Mark, this is a question for you. I mean, I think what has happened here is that this by women for women has struck a chord. Obviously, most of the women there would like to see this repeated, but I'll bet a lot of men, a lot of business owners that are men, would like to have a situation like this repeated, because Kathleen normally works with larger organizations, but every small and medium-sized business probably could benefit from this.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I've had men approach me about this. And you really begin to notice they're two different animals. Where the women tend to completely engaged, lunch, blah, blah, blah. I think you might have 2 hours with men, maybe. That's just an assumption, and maybe it's a stereotype. But we've thought about it. Thing is, women are just so much smarter than men. It's interesting because I would love to have the facilitators that we had at this working with the men. Like, I would love to have Kathleen working with the men. But, if it's an all-men's thing, you've got to find all these male facilitators, which I'm sure we could find. But that's –
But I'm just
– We're thinking about it. Absolutely.
I'm just thinking as a fundamental, regular, every year, every quarter kind of a service from the chamber, you might be setting a precedent that chambers really are missing the boat in really bringing in –
Yep.
their members and really getting, you know, the heart of their issues resolved.
Well, we're noodling that. We're noodling, a mastermind for men as part of our discussion post this event. So there's two things that came out of this. First of all, we picked a date, Kathleen, for the calendar. November 14th, 2018 is the next big women's mastermind. And then when I get a moment, I'm going to probably send you an email and talk about how we move forward with this quarterly networking group that you and Elizabeth I've forgotten how we were setting that up, but how you would proceed, because these women want something on a regular basis. They want that kind of forum, and I think Kathleen hit it on the head that we nailed it with this mastermind concept, in the sense that all they're supposed to do once they present their challenge is to listen. Because, you know, I know that firsthand because that's the toughest thing I have. You know, as soon as someone tells me something, I want to respond. A lot of times before they've even finished their sentence. But the when you are put in that position where you cannot respond, boy, do you begin to really learn and get something out of it.
Well, let me speak to what Joe was just saying about doing something like this for men. With a quick question, do any of you think that I think women are more open-minded. I don't mm-hmm. think men take to advice. They're not as open to advice as women.
But how much
are
of that right.
In general.
But how much of that is a stereotype? And we could throw this to Kathleen and ask her, but we just had this conversation yesterday because we are noodling that, a men's mastermind. It even kind of flows, men's mastermind. But you know what? I don't know if we get as many men. We may not need as big a room, but I think men, small business, I think they are looking for advice and help, and they are open. I think, you know, when I look at cookie cutters or these places, I think Jeff would probably embrace sitting there and getting some constructive help from people around him. The question is, I don't know why, but I feel like there's a lot more women who would come to this than there are men, in the sense that who's out there? When you think of small businesses, where are the men?
Well, you know, the only way you're going to find out is to – seriously, no, seriously, Mark, the
right,
only way you're going
to
find out is to plan something and see how many
right.
people turn up. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This is interesting. First of all, I think that men have had many opportunities for mastermind groups over the years. I mean, this is not a new concept.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, there are many I can recall, and there's probably still existing today, there are actually very established mastermind groups where executives get together and provide feedback to one another. So this is not,
I think there are mastermind networking groups now here in the South Bay.
So I think that men who want to be part of that, there's an opportunity. So before I would necessarily set this up, I might want to find out what's out there already that men are participating in. But that being said, I think that I don't know that I would do the day the same way for men.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think men are open to getting challenges, meeting their challenges by having that kind of support. It's going to really depend, I think, on who the facilitators are, because men will not take advice from somebody that they don't think has it together. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So for that, let's take an example. We know that Mike Zislis is one of the facilitators, right? Or one of the people that are going to be there. All right. Somebody says, wow, that guy's been successful. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
To him. So I think for men, it's not that it might not be a good idea. I just think it needs to be thought through on what you're offering to them. And maybe it's a little different. It's not just the same kind of a setup as the women have. And I would do a poll. I mean, I guess if for the chamber, I'd send out a survey to the men and say, hey, are you interested? What would you be interested in, a half day, 2 hours, before you did anything? I just think that, I just think I do a little bit more needs assessment on it.
Yeah, my gut says,
Kathleen.
My gut, yep.
I'm sorry, Mark, go on.
I was going to say my gut says no panels, just the mastermind concept with heavy hitters as facilitators, successful, like you said, Mike Sims, Mike Zislis, if we could get them involved, bring them in the fold, who knows, maybe even get one of the Newmans,
Elon Musk. Elon Musk.
Yeah, have Elon come.
Yeah,
and
he's
do this.
Close,
But,
hold on. So. Mark, I want to ask Kathleen a question about it's not just the differences in temperament between men and women, but it's the differences in vocabulary and language. For instance, Kathleen, I have, talked to a lot of business owners, and when we talk about successful business owners and that we know, for instance, a Mike Zislis, for instance, we will say the language, the vocabulary that we use is he's been through the wars. He's been through the battles. It's always like military speak that, you know, when men talk about other men who have been successful at business, they talk about the battles that he's been through, the skirmishes. Do you notice a difference in vocabulary between how women talk about successful women and how men talk about successful men?
Well, I think that's really a good point. It goes back to that, we can generalize as to, you know, how men talk, but we know that our life experiences are different. And I can't recall of a situation. I don't think a woman is going to say, boy, I went through a battle. I mean, that would not be something that would come out of a woman's mouth. And, you know, the other factor, too, is that women are also factoring in families, raising children, making those decisions. You don't find that as much in a common when you're talking to men about their businesses. Oh, I've got to think about who's going to take the kids to the dentist. I mean, I think there's definitely differences in language, and that's why what would sell to women may not sell to men. I mean, I think that's, you know.
Well, I think, but to your point earlier, I think you could sell the idea. It would just have to be a different format.
Right.
You know, the thing, you can almost link it to romance, okay? Women, there has to be, for romance, there has to be a lead up and all of this. I mean, foreplay, I mean, all of those things. I mean, you have to, it's a process. Romance for them it's a process. And I think the same way in these seminars, I think you're right, 10 to 2, a woman needs that nurturing, needs that build up, needs those opportunities, needs that time to have that nurturing experience. Whereas men just, I don't want it. I want it at 8 o'clock. I need to leave at 10. Give me what I need to know. Let me get this going, you know.
You know, I'm sure that you're going to, if we take what we're saying here, there will be women who will be listening to this and are getting really annoyed about, like, we're making, you know, men do this, women do this, right? And yet, again, we're generalizing. There are just as many women who are going to want to get in and out and don't want all of the, why do we have to listen to that panel? We should have just had, you know. So it's, again, there are distinct differences in the styles that certain women have, you know. So any comments that we're making here, I want to put this out as a disclaimer, is recognizing that we're making generalizations, and that you are always going to find, you know, many women who do not, who really behave and act and think more in a male kind of orientation. So I just want to make sure that.
Well, no, that's absolutely true. There are always exceptions to the rule. It's like me.
Right.
I would embrace a mastermind, absolutely. And
right.
Even with my ADHD personality, I wouldn't mind actually even a panel, but to your point, boy, that better be an exceptional panel.
Right.
I better recognize those guys up there. I did not have many, you know, I think if I sent out this survey and if there was a panel involved or there were, you know, and the facilitators and all of that, I would get comments back. Well, who's on the panel? Who's speaking? Who are the facilitators? Whereas with women, I just didn't get that much feedback. I had a couple of ladies who wanted to know who were on the panel, who's speaking, you know. But other than that, they just liked the idea of the fact that there were panels, they were speaking to women. They liked the topic. They liked the fact that there were going to be other women there, and it was a little more warm and fuzzy. Now, you're right. That's generalizing. That's not that there are exceptions to all of those, obviously.
I want to get into more details about the event, Kathleen. Tell me about what did they talk about on the panel with the, what, either one. Tell us what some of the topics were, the business with legs and the gender gap. Give us some ideas of what went on in those panels. What did they talk about?
So the first panel in the morning had to do with, you know, people sharing their business experiences. And so one of the questions they wanted to find out is how many of these five women intentionally started their business versus fell into it. And that was kind of an interesting question because, again, what I found in listening to them is that the majority of them had worked for a corporation or a larger company, and as a result of being in a larger corporation, found that they really preferred to do it their own way. And so for a variety of reasons, decided to, you know, go off on their own. And so there were some questions just to kind of get a sense of that. And there was a wide diversity on the morning panel. We had somebody who was a basically successful person who worked with nonprofits. We had a woman who was in media. We had another one who was in was a lawyer, and so you had a diversity in the panelists. And they also, with the first morning panel, asked them. So what do they think was important to to be successful? And I mentioned some of those things earlier, but one of the things they said is that you really need, as a small business owner, to find experts to help you. Again, and I find this too, is people will say, oh, I love doing whatever it is. You know, I love designing or I love consulting in this field. What they don't like doing is the marketing, the PR, the fun, all the stuff that goes along with it. And so all of these people said, you got to develop a strong team and you can't do it all yourself. And you really do have to, find a way to support yourself. And I think that's hard for business owners because the small business owners have very little money. So paying for stuff is difficult. And so I think they came out over and over again, you know, it pays to make sure your legal stuff is in order. So that was that came out really strongly. Let's see here. The other thing is that the morning panel really put a lot of effort into talking about that, you know, if you're going to do this, you really need to be focused, you need to be passionate about what you're doing. And a number of them put in a plug at how important it is to get involved in the community and join the chambers within your community. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're a small business owner, you know, to really get involved with your local chambers. So that was kind of a nice plug. And Mark wasn't even there, so it was kind of definitely unsolicited. The morning panel also talked about how does being a woman impact the way you do business. That one was a little bit trickier for them to answer. You know, it's, again, when you ask a woman, well, you know, how do you do your business differently than a man? It's hard to answer that question because we don't know because we're a woman. The only thing that kind of came from that was a number of the panelists said, you know, well, I guess as a female, they kind of felt that they do a lot more listening and they follow a little bit more of their gut. Now, again, you know, that was not, you know, everybody's opinion. And then the last thing that I took down from that first panel I really thought I would second a million times is we check our emails too frequently. A number of the panelists said they only check their email 2 to 3 times a day. And that is probably the most important thing that I wish people could hear because we waste so much time checking emails. So that was basically the first panel. Do you want me to talk about the second one?
Yeah.
All right. So the second one was interesting because we had Vera, who she runs a. She's actually on the radio. Also, you might know her, Vera Hernandez. She has a radio show or TV show. I'm not.
Vera Jimenez. She's on Channel Five.
Channel Five.
And she also owns a restaurant, you know, a fish restaurant.
Yeah.
So she came from that perspective. And we also had
fish
somebody
shop.
from AEG. And we had Chevron with Jill Bronkhart represented. Yeah, and then we had Eva Irvine, who was a police chief. So on this panel, we had people, I think, that really had been in larger companies, and their topic had to do with dealing with the gender gap. And this is a topic that a lot of people don't want to talk about. They don't want to talk about the fact that there still is a significant gender gap. Women are still getting paid less. We are still not in some of the higher positions. Although we can say there's progress being made, but we definitely need more progress to be made in that area. What was interesting was that, again, we talked about the fact that a lot of women are not being steered to science, engineering, and the technical fields. And that's something that, you know, I recall many years ago, that was a big push to get women into the STEM areas. And there was actually a very strong recruitment to get women to do that. And then it kind of fell by the wayside. And I think this is also something that needs to be, women really need to look at what we're doing in that area. Let's see. So but I found one of the most interesting stories, and I hope Eve doesn't mind me sharing it, but it had to do with that, you know, when she was starting out, she wanted to think about being a higher level in the police department, and basically what happened is the guy who she was talking to said, well, when women are in that position, pigs will fly.
Mm-hmm.
And
here she was 20 years later, you know, had gotten in that position.
Yeah.
And now is the police chief. So, you know, it's, again, pigs can fly. And so it's, again, we are, you know, people are seeing differences.
That is an amazing panel. That's amazing panel.
Yeah.
Both panels, I had ladies coming up to me and saying it was great. And you know you have a good event when people are still in their seats. You know, halfway through, after lunch. I had a handful that left for the reason that Kathleen mentioned earlier, that they had to pick up their kids at school. But other than that, everybody was in their seats, still engaged, all the way to the end. And then I thought, they're all going to race out of here. They all still hung around a little bit and still chatted and talked to each other. And so I tell you, it was just fantastic. The one of the things that Eve talked about, and I'm trying to remember how she put it, but she said, I don't want, you know, when you talk about equality, she said, I don't want that guy's job. I want to be thought of as, you know, my own person, and I want to be, if I do have their job, I want it to be on the same level that they had it, you know. And then the other comment that I heard back from was Jill Bronkhart, when they said, when she said one of the gender gaps, that one of the things, and it's interesting, but one of the things that would go a long way for gender gaps, for the gender gap, to close that gap, is if men, when their kids were very young, really concentrated on being role models for those children. Hmm. And, you know, when you think about it, okay, that role model, so I guess it begs the question of, in your opinion, what's a role model for young children, you know? For some guys, it might be, I got to get you into sports and you got to do this. And you know, but I think what she was saying was to be a role model for children in the respect of a lot of the things that were being talked about during the Women's Mastermind, you know, whether you're a woman, whether you're a girl or a boy, let them explore whatever areas they want to explore, you know?
Well, you know, we gotta also say, you know, this, it's very obvious. What I'm going to say is very obvious, but then again, a lot of this is generational. Things have changed tremendously since I was in the corporate world. All right? When I was in the corporate world, I was told I could not wear slacks to work.
That's right.
All right? Can you believe that? This was in 1984 when I moved to the L.A. office. I was an office in New York. I transferred to the L.A. office. That was back in the day when we wore power suits with the shoulder pads, you know. And I wore a designer, a beautiful, beautifully cut suit, pantsuit to work. My first week on the job, I was called into the office and told we were not allowed to wear pants to work. 84, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know what I did, right? I immediately went back to my desk. I called the head guy in New York and told him what just happened. And that was the end of that. Women started wearing pants to work in my office. All right? A lot of this is generational. It's definitely getting better. But, of course, as we've all seen with the whole, you know, Harvey Weinstein thing, you know, there are industries.
Well, no, it's Weinstein.
That's what I just said.
Weinstein. Well, I thought you said Swinestein. It's not Swinestein.
The swine is the important part, all right?
Yes, right. I think she's making a very strong point.
In certain industries, there is still a real issue with gender, and that has to do with power and, you know, it's a whole power thing. You know, we know it happens in Washington. We know it happens in Hollywood.
Well, that whole issue, that's all coming out. It is in all industries. I mean, politically, we're finding it, and, you know, it all started with coming out of the woodwork with Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly. Yeah. And then the dominoes begin to fall, and it's kind of cool to see women beginning to stand up and say, you know what, that's it. I'm drawing the line. Oh, you know what? I feel more comfortable now about speaking out, and it's nice to see that there is accountability. Maybe years later, but there is accountability, and Bill Cosby and all of that.
That casting couch has been around since the movie started. We know that. And it's been going on.
This is why mastermind groups are so important, because, you see, it's very difficult sometimes for women to speak out if they could have the support of other women to speak out.
Right.
Because, you see, again, that's why getting women together to support each other. It goes back to the women's movement years ago. The whole point was, we want a seat at the table. We want to be treated with respect, and we need to support each other in making and moving forward. And so it's again, I think that's why why women's meetings like this are important, because it gives women an opportunity to say, hey, I will support you if you speak out. Because
do you guys think that this will broaden into not just women, but where men have been victimized in situations, and it's more about power corrupting?
Well, yeah, because men have also been. This is not. We know that with Kevin Spacey, that it was men he was harassing. So it's not just women that are harassed, but it's again. That's what I'm saying is that. That anybody harassed it's an issue we need to address. Mm-hmm. But women have been for many years been targeted. You know, if you want this job, you need to do certain things. I mean,
well, look at again. Mm-hmm. It as I said, generational. You know, for the last couple of decades, women in the workplace. You know, even in the military, for years women were quiet about assault and harassment in the military. Now they're in a comfortable enough space where they can go to the human resources department and say, "Hey, this guy is harassing me," or a guy saying, "Hey, this woman is harassing me," or whatever it is. So it's happening in the corporate world. It's been happening in the corporate world. It's happening in the military. Now it's going to happen in Hollywood. You know, now it's going to happen where some guy, you know, a guy preys on a woman. She's now going to be able to say, okay, and she's going to go to somebody, and they're going to have to take her seriously now.
But you know what's interesting?
Because now it's wide open. Yeah.
But kudos to the stakeholders. Kudos to the decision makers, because these guys, the repercussions, the accountability, the reaction has not just been a slap on the wrist.
Thank God. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been people. I mean, they. It's not just slap on the wrist give some money to the victim. This is. I mean, people are.
What? Yeah.
Really,
Park,
you know, like, well, look at Kevin Spacey. They're actually recasting his role and reshooting the scenes in a movie. I mean, that's amazing.
Well,
House of Cards
was a big money
going
maker.
Out of production.
It shut down.
House of Cards going out of production is going to
most
affect
successful
2,
show on Netflix.
2,000 jobs going to be lost because House of Cards is going out of production. It's amazing the impact that it's having. Amazing.
Yeah.
But still, even so, and that's a negative, but still, even so, and who knows, by the way, what it will come back as. It may go out of production with Kevin Spacey. They have to probably say we're not, because he maybe even has a producer credit by this time, and so they have to just cut the cord, and then they build something else that's similar, maybe a spinoff, because they are talking about a spinoff of one of the characters on House of Cards. So all those people will come back. But I think it's fascinating. I think it's great that these people are, and maybe it's the money that's driving it, because they're going, oh, who's going to come to a Kevin Spacey movie now? We better recast or something. So maybe there is an ulterior motive in the back, but I just do applaud that these guys are reacting and reacting in a strong way and not just a slap on the wrist or paying off the victim and continuing to move forward, hoping that it all goes away. They are saying, I mean, Jeremy Piven's been, he's off groups now and off, he's been, his events have been canceled, all of that stuff. And so it's great that there's been real substance behind the punishment for these crimes.
Well, as I said, and in the future now, whenever somebody comes forward, they have to listen. They have to listen. So that's the sea change. It's happened. There's no going back. You know, and don't get me wrong, there's still other places. You know, this is still happening in Washington, you know, and that whole thing. And there's other stuff, the fashion industry and things, but it's getting better. It's getting better.
Well, the awareness, awareness is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, this is.
So we'll wrap it up. We'll wrap it up on that positive note.
I may have to lawyer up.
We
I need
will.
To think back over the last 40 years and figure out what the hell.
Well, Kathleen, fantastic having you on the show today.
Well, it's a pleasure. Pleasure to be here.
Kathleen,
let me tell
Terry,
you, we've got to have Kathleen on more often because we can talk about different things with her.
System. Yes, we can talk about different things with her, but I want to make sure I get the whole thing out. Kathleen Terry, Mastermind Facilitator for Participative Management Systems. And Kathleen, how can people get in touch with you if they are interested in having or facilitating a meeting like this?
All they need to do is contact Mark Lips. He's my
there
best
you go.
He's my best PR person.
Yeah.
So
why didn't I know that? Okay.
Yeah, contact Mark Lips, and he can connect them to me.
That's right.
And Mark, how do people get in touch with you?
You can get the easiest is Mark at ManhattanBeachChamber.com. Mark at ManhattanBeachChamber.com, and I can't tell you how important and the impact that Kathleen could have with your business if you utilize her. I mean, it's unbelievable. And whether it be individual or group or strategy session or leadership training, very good at what she does.
Right.
Mark at marklips.com or Mark at ManhattanBeachChamber.com.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much all. And it's been a great discussion. Wide-ranging discussion. I think it's going to be very valuable to people. Share this with your friends. Share this with your business colleagues. And we hope to see you all soon. Thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
That's
everyone.
A wrap, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you soon, and it's going to be a fantastic weekend. Enjoy. Bye-bye.
Bye.